and welcome back to another KETR's Locker Room. I'm Cooper Welch.
I'm Taylor Phelps.
And I am Ryan Billups.
All right, guys. This week we're talking NBA playoffs, and we're also going to talk a controversial question. Should Derrick Rose come back now? Well, we may even talk another controversial thing that came up recently. Should sporting awards be awarded during the season or after the postseason when we really see who's the most valuable player for the team? And then the Friday segment, we'll talk to a possible new host here on the show, Caleb Rudolph. We're going to be talking with him, doing sort of an interview with him, seeing what's going on. And then we'll end the Friday show with more NBA playoffs, since that's what's going on. And we'll finish up with the Rangers. But first, guys, today, should Derrick Rose come back now? And if not now, when?
Should he come back now? Man, that's all up to Derrick, and that's up to his mind and his mentality right now. I don't know what's going on in his head. He's cleared to play. That doesn't mean
and been for a while.
That doesn't mean he's ready to play, though. There's a big difference. He hasn't played in, you know, over a year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that is a serious thing to get over, that mental game. You know, do you trust your knee? Do you not trust your knee? Can you make that cut? Can you stay in front of the defender? I think what's going on right now in Derrick's head is, he doesn't want to come back now.
Right.
Especially after they won game one in the Heat series and then them lose and the blame be put on him. Because, look, he's not going to be like he was last year. He's not going to be at the high caliber player he was like here. He's going to be a good player. He's going to be better than Nate Robinson. Not necessarily better than Nate Robinson
right now.
In the couple of particular games that
Nate Robinson's playing great.
That
amazing.
Nate Robinson
yeah.
has gone right off. Now. But he's a better player than Nate Robinson. That's mm-hmm. just, I mean, he just is. You know, he can explode for those kind of games too, on a more consistent basis.
Right.
He gets his teammates involved a little better. But it's just, I think it's up to Derrick Rose. He needs to decide if he wants to come back. If he wants to come back, then he should say, hey guys, I'm coming to suit up. That doesn't mean he's going to play. That leaves it up to the coach, leave it to Thibodeau. He'll decide if Rose gets in the game, but at least make a decision one way or the other. All right, guys, I'm coming back. You know, I'm sit on right. the bench. Use me when you want to use me.
Well, you've had experience with knee injuries in your basketball career.
Yeah, I tore my patella tendon.
Yeah.
And it is a mental game coming back. Like, doctor says, hey, you're 100% ready to go. Mm. Your knee's better than it was, you know, before you hurt it.
Right.
Go play basketball. You think about every step you make. Every time I go up and let's say I try to go dunk it or I try to take a big jump, I think about my knee when I'm doing that. And anytime you're distracted like that, I mean, especially on the high caliber level that Derrick Rose is playing on.
Yeah.
That's a big deal. And so you can't be thinking about a body part. And so once he gets past that, that's when he's ready to come back.
And let's not forget, there was a time in the season when we thought, well, we might see the reappearance of Derrick Rose shortly after the All-Star break.
Right.
One or two games after. And I know personally as a fan, I was thinking that's what was going to happen.
I was rooting
and that
for
we
that.
Were going to see Derrick Rose. But I truly believe at this point he has made up his mind a long time ago that this season's not the season to come back.
Yeah.
And that he wants to come back.
But
after
that's
an
why
off
he's
season
not nipping it in the bud
for
yet.
A full season. Yeah, he's not. I mean, because he's supporting his teammates. He's on the bench and he's
if they go to the championship, he's coming back.
See, I don't
just
know.
Don't know. I just don't know because if they open. Make it I think if they make it that far, I don't know if him coming back is going to help them any.
Yeah, like, it might hurt them because the flow of the offense, him coming back, like we saw Dirk. Dirk wasn't very good the first few weeks that he came back.
Would y'all be saying this if it was LeBron James, though? Let's say LeBron James has right. been out all year long, and then his team was right where they are right now with Ray Allen, Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh.
They also have a better team, though.
Still yeah. a great team. Would y'all be saying, no, LeBron, you should probably just sit out? Because Derrick Rose, before he was injured, was reigning MVP. Best
but
player
the way league. The way that the Heat play is totally different than the way the Bulls play. The Bulls are a system.
But that's
so
what I'm
anyone
saying.
Can
they
come in.
They would have been playing differently at that point. The Heat would have changed their offense completely. The flow would be completely
but more focused
different
around Dwayne
comeback.
Wade, too.
That's what I'm saying. Everything would change have LeBron come back.
Yeah, that's true. I think just as a sports fan that wants to see everyone play, I would want LeBron back. But as a sports fan who cares about the future and other people seeing LeBron play in his prime and seeing him succeed, I mean, as a Spurs fan, I don't want him to succeed. But as an NBA fan, I want LeBron James to have monster seasons after whatever season yeah. he got hurt. So I think it'd still be a 50-50 do I want him to come back or not?
LeBron's different than Derrick Rose, though. LeBron has taken the persona as he's the best of all time, and that he's going to be this great, the chosen one, the king. So I think we demand more of LeBron, like, you should be back now, as opposed to Derrick Rose. We're like, well, we still like watching the Chicago Bulls right now. We like watching the underdog story. And if Derrick Rose is to come back and ruin that for us, then I think as the NBA fans and NBA community will be upset about that. Not that they don't want to see Derrick Rose, but they want to see Derrick Rose, but they also like to see this Bulls team without a star succeed.
If I'm the Chicago Bulls, I want Derrick Rose back. If I'm the fans, I want Derrick Rose back. It's the same. Think about the Dallas Mavericks or San Antonio Spurs for you, Cooper. If your best player's down, you want them to come back, regardless of how long it's been. Yeah. Even with Dirk this year, I wanted him to come back. It's he's such a big difference to the offense. The reason they're winning games right now through the playoffs is because of their defense, not because of their offense.
So, say Derrick Rose did come back, would they be able to beat the Heat?
I think there's enough emotional momentum that it's possible. Do I think that his impact on the game would let them win the game? No. But I think the emotional impact...
I think if
of
he was to come
back,
he needs to come back game three at home.
Right.
So that they have just a tremendous amount of fan support.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And they can still win those two games
just
at home.
Announce it an hour before game time.
Yeah, that he's
put
coming
him on the
back.
Roster.
Well, let's think about it this way. Let's do some what ifs. First, do you see him coming back for this next game?
No.
Okay.
No. Definitely not the next one.
What if the Bulls win this next game too? Does he come back in game three?
I would love him to. I think that'd be fantastic. I think you would never hear that stadium louder than it would be that night.
Right.
Regardless of if he even starts or gets that many minutes, just a couple minutes per half, and that would get the fans and the stadium.
You saw
just,
what it did with David Lee coming back in the Denver series, just for a minute and 30 seconds to come
and
lift the crowd and kind of get everyone pumped up.
Mm-hmm. So if nothing else, he
momentum.
Can come back and just be that momentum sparker. Even if he's not going to contribute on the court, he can come back and go in for a minute and lift that team the way that David Lee did with Golden State.
Right.
I could see that.
How about this? Do you think it's more likely that Derrick Rose comes back if the Bulls are about to win the series, or if they're down 3-2, what do you think?
I think they have to beat the Heat. I think he doesn't come back till they've beat the Heat, if he comes back. And personally, I don't think he'll come back at all.
Yeah.
But I think if they beat the Heat, he'll come back for the Eastern Conference Finals and the Finals. But I still don't want to. I want to see it because I'd like to see the Bulls make it far. But I also like the way the Bulls are playing right now and the team concept and, you know, sharing the ball and Thibodeau's defense. They're just a very fun team to watch. And I don't think Derrick Rose will ruin that, but there's definitely going to be some adjustments that have to be made.
Right. And one of those big adjustments is Nate Robinson's playing time. You have seen he's kind of been the emotional spark to that team.
Definitely.
So far.
Nate Robinson's there's nothing against
and
him.
And so what happens to his minutes?
Yeah,
Derrick Rose comes back.
Nate Robinson will definitely get a lot of minutes. Well, I mean, without a doubt. And don't forget, Kirk Heinrich is still out. He can come back at any time.
Yeah, and Kirk Heinrich is one of the defensive keys for the Bulls.
Let's not forget, they won game one without Kirk Heinrich or Lou Aldang.
Mm-hmm.
And those are probably the two best players all year. Well, Joakim, I take that back. Joakim Noah is definitely
Carlos Boozer,
the high-level player. But Lou Aldang is definitely one of the top three players on the team with Derrick Rose. So I just let's not forget this too. If the Bulls are to somehow magically knock off the Heat, and you know the Heat are going to get a bunch of flack for that, especially LeBron will go back down to his level of you're the king, you're supposed to be this great player because Jordan won three in a row. Mm-hmm. Now what are you going to do? But if the Bulls were to knock off the Heat, the NBA playoffs is instantly wide open.
Absolutely.
Because at first we're thinking, oh, the Heat easily go to the finals.
Mm-hmm.
And who knows who's going to meet him in the West, especially with Russell Westbrook's injury. But, I mean, I could see Memphis winning the NBA Finals if the Heat got knocked off with their ability down low. And Mike Conley's playing at a very high level, and the length the whole team plays together, a lot like the Detroit Pistons were when they won their NBA championship with Rasheed Wallace and all of them.
Well, let's not get too much into the NBA playoffs. We want to talk a whole segment about that later on. So we're going to skip that, and let's talk another controversial question that's come up recently. Should sporting awards like MVP or Rookie of the Year, Heisman, should those things be awarded near the end of the regular season, or they should be awarded after the postseason? What do you think?
I think they should be awarded during the season the way they do it. And the reason I say that is because not every team makes the playoffs.
Okay.
You can be an MVP and not make the playoffs. Look at
LeBron and Cleveland. Well, yeah, they made the playoffs, but they weren't high seeds.
That's what I'm saying. If you can be that top caliber of a team and have absolutely no one around you and not be a good team, but still be better than, you know what I mean?
Now, traditionally, though, the MVP is going to be on a top caliber team.
True.
When Dirk won it, when Steve Nash won it, when even KG won it at the Timberwolves, they were all 1 seed, 2 seed, 3 seed.
But I don't want to see someone not get the award because they don't go to the playoffs or because they get knocked out in the first round and their stats don't build up as much.
But you're never going to see someone from the you're never going to see the Charlotte Bobcats or the Wizards until they make the playoffs. Have John Wall's not going to win the MVP.
Right.
Because if you look at the stats after, you know, the Super Bowl winner, they have 3 or 4, or let's say NBA playoffs, since it's such a bigger series. The NBA champion has probably 30 more games than
definitely.
Than
and
the
you
guy
could
who
make
gets
a case
out in the first round. So
you
the
could
stats,
make a case that Stephen Curry could be the MVP right now with at last night having 40 point game. But like even in other sports, we're not just talking about basketball here. Should the MVP be awarded later in the Super Bowl? Not that many. I mean, the NFL playoffs. Not that many people make the playoffs. And you don't have as many games,
right? And you do have, you do have playoff MVPs for. Pretty much every sport.
Super Bowl MVP, whatever.
Yeah. Right. And so I think they're doing it the right way.
I think we would be too lenient to give the MVP to whoever the championship MVP was.
Right. Like Joe Flacco could have won the MVP.
Yeah,
this
you
year.
Could have said, well, Joe Flacco was the MVP.
How about
or Ray
this,
Lewis
though?
Was the MVP.
How about this? Multiple times the Heisman winner for whatever's going on in that sport, the Heisman winner didn't win the next game that he was in, whether it be a bowl game or the championship, until the last 2 or 3 years. But before that, there was a streak of 8 or 9 years that the Heisman winner went on to the next game, do terrible, and maybe the second runner-up, like Vince Young against Reggie Bush. Vince Young had an amazing game, and he showed that he probably should have won that Heisman, especially because of the allegations of money and all that stuff that went with Reggie
Bush. I don't
think
that necessarily proves that he was a better player, though. I think it proves that the Heisman and the ceremony and everything that goes along with it is a huge distraction to that player. Mm. Also, vice versa, for Vince Young, it added such a fuel to his fire. He felt like he deserved it, so he's going to go out and try to prove something. Reggie Bush isn't going out to prove anything. He just won a Heisman, get praise for
and they've had a lot
straight.
Of practice time off. You got to think they have a lot of media engagements. As soon as they win that award, you're on the Tonight Show, and people want you to come to their shows, and they want to talk to you all the time and kind of follow your life a little bit. I saw a thing on Johnny Football, just what he does at A&M on a daily basis. So those are things that are big time distractions when you have one football game left, and the rest of your team's out on the practice field while you're a celebrity.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, that's going to do it for us in this first segment. Make sure to stick around for the second part of the show. We're going to talk everything NBA playoffs that's happened so far in the second series. All right, this is KETR's Locker Room. We'll be right back.
Know someone who has a car they no longer need? Maybe a student who's graduating college, an elderly relative who no longer drives, or a neighbor with a car that won't run? Do them and your station a favor by telling them about the KETR car donation program. We'll come pick it up and give them a tax receipt, and you'll both be helping your station continue to provide quality programming for the community. It's easy to do. Just remember the phone number, 855-KETR-123, and share it with others. From the home of the blues and the birthplace of rock and roll, it's Beale Street Caravan, featuring Memphis music and its derivative forms. Each program presents seasoned veterans alongside up-and-coming artists recorded at festivals and venues throughout the United States, featuring music industry experts and celebrities who liven up each program with inside commentary about the history and the process of the music. Join Pat Mitchell for Beale Street Caravan, Tuesday nights at 11 following Latin Soul on KETR.
All right, we're back here on your station, 88.9 KETR. This is KETR's Locker Room. Now we're going to talk NBA playoffs. All right, guys, first, we're going to cover the Pacers and Knicks series. The Pacers won a rather surprising game against the Knicks in Madison Square Garden, and they're now up 1-0 on the Knicks. Their next game will be tonight, also in New York. So what's going on in that series?
Man, I think you're just really—I think you're seeing the Knicks continue their layover from the first series. They got up big early on the Celtics, 3-0, and then they just kind of—it looked like their effort just kind of stopped, and they just kind of were trying to cruise to a victory.
Right.
And I think you're seeing that roll over into this next series. You didn't see a lot of effort out of the Knicks. Pacers just out hustled them, which Pacers do to most teams, but just. In playoff basketball, you got to come out and play harder than that. I still think the Knicks win this series.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a lot closer now. I think Knicks win it in 6 or 7 now instead of 4 or 5.
I really question Carmelo's ability to be a great player at the championship level in this league. Obviously, he's a great player, scoring champion this year for the first time in his career.
Mm-hmm.
But if we start to evaluate Carmelo Anthony's resume in the league and what he's actually done, and it's not very... There's not very much there.
Right.
He's only been a scoring champion once, never been an MVP. He's been in the All-Star game, but I don't think he's ever won an All-Star MVP. And these are little things that you win, but they do add up in a career. They do make you who you are. Kobe Bryant has won almost every trophy in the league, and Carmelo hasn't been an all-defensive player or anything like that. So I think really it's on his shoulders of what type of player does he want to be remembered as. Does he want to be just Carmelo Anthony, a good scorer in the league, and people will forget about him if he doesn't really cement his legacy in something. And if he was to lose to the Pacers in this series, I think it's really detrimental to him because they're going to – I mean, Jason Kidd's getting old.
Yeah. Tyson Chandler's getting old.
Tyson Chandler's getting older. There's not much hope. And Tyson Chandler, I think his contract comes up.
Mm-hmm.
And who knows where he's going to go because he's always been an underpaid player, and somebody that needed him was like, we'll give you the money. And the franchise he's with has never really recognized his value until he's gone.
Yeah.
And we saw that with the Mavericks. But Carmelo, I think it just all goes back to Carmelo and what kind of player does he want to be.
In all fairness to the Knicks, though, I don't know if y'all watched that game, but the refs were absolutely horrible.
Mm.
They were letting very, very obvious fouls go. You saw Carmelo drive to the basket, a player come in and just take out both of his arms on a missed dunk, and they just let it go. I mean, all game long, give credit to the Pacers. They played them really hard, played them really tough, and if the refs aren't going to call it, then let's bully them up a little bit. But I think NBA playoff basketball, you have to call that. It is just, you can't let a team win just because they're
fouling.
Yeah, if you're trying to shoot the ball and someone takes your arms out, that's not playing tough. That's just, I mean,
one problem with the Knicks too is though that they're a jump shooting team, so they shoot a lot of jumpers, so they're not going to get those foul calls because they don't go inside very much. And Carmelo and J.R. Smith take so many contested jumpers that while they score, it takes them a lot of buckets to get there.
Yeah,
Carmelo has like 28 points a game, I think, in the playoffs, but
he's taking
28 shots, and he's not getting to the line as much as he should. Another problem is the rebounding. The Pacers just out-rebound everyone. They have 3 people with 8 rebounds, while Chandler's only averaging 7.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the best rebounder on the New York team. So that's a huge problem, too, because second-chance buckets for the Pacers can just kill a team, especially when they play as good a defense as they do and limit people's points.
So what's our prediction for this series, guys?
That's a
tough one.
I still
think New York will win.
Right.
I just think they have too much firepower. I think it's like New York in 6 or 7. I don't think they'll win in 5 because I don't think they can win 4 in straight. But I think they could win in 6 or 7.
Okay.
7's more likely.
I'm going to have to say if the Knicks lose game 2 tonight, the Pacers win. Because they'd go
home.
It's
really hard
to
come back. Yeah, and you're going home. It's completely opposite of the Memphis series when they were down 2-0 because they were at least going home to try to fight back. But
the Knicks do have to win this game.
Yeah.
If they lose this game, I'm probably giving the series to the Pacers.
If they lose this game, I say the Knicks maybe win one game in the entire series, but I honestly could see the Pacers sweeping if the Knicks lose tonight. But I'm going to have to stick... you know what? I'm going to have to say Pacers in 7. I think it goes
Pacers
7 games.
Seven. Okay, so we forgot to mention it. What's our prediction for the Bulls Heat series?
Oh, we're covering them.
Yeah, we'll come back
pretty sure. Yeah, right after this. So we'll get to them.
There's a lot to talk about
there.
We're
good.
Yeah. But yeah, I think Pacers in seven. And you already said Knicks in six or seven, right?
Right. So right. I got one more question real quick, guys.
Okay.
And I talked about Carmelo, but what is you two opinion about Carmelo?
I think he takes way too many shots. You're always going to hurt your offense doing that. He's an isolation player, and it works well with Mike Woodson's offense. He's an isolation coach, but it doesn't work well against the Pacers. The Pacers defend well against isolation because they can foul up. They play really physical ball. And as we saw with LeBron, he doesn't play as much isolation as Carmelo does. But as we saw with LeBron, the Pacers can get really in your head with the physical play and mess you up. And Carmelo has never been a player that did well with mental basketball.
Yeah.
So I think Carmelo is actually detrimental to the team in this situation. As we saw with the Nuggets, they got so much better when he left.
Yeah, and the just Knicks, his team basketball and George Karl's system.
Yeah, I'm not going to go as far as to say that he's detrimental to the team. I do think he takes too many shots, jump shots. I'm fine with him taking it to the rim. When he takes it to the rim, he's a very, very good player.
Yes.
And LeBron had to learn that early in his career as well. LeBron used to take a lot of jump shots. And when LeBron really started taking it to the hole was when he became a really efficient player. I mean, you see him now shooting 50-60%. At certain points of his career. So I don't want to say he's detrimental, because I think without Carmelo that
they wouldn't be where they are.
Oh yeah, I mean they won their first division title in 19 years. So
I think the Knicks will win the series, and I think you're going to see LeBron, or not LeBron, I think you'll see Carmelo taking it to the hole a lot more as the series goes on.
Let's hope so. I think that's the only way they beat the Pacers, if Carmelo starts
and
taking
he's gotta
the hole.
And he's got to get the foul call. They can't just let it go.
Yeah. Well, let's move on to the next series. Also happening tonight, game two of the Thunder and Grizzlies. So the Thunder, thanks to a Durant last-second shot, are up 1-0 on the Grizzlies. They won 93-91 on, I think, Sunday, right? Was it Sunday?
Yes.
On Sunday. And now the Grizzlies are down 1-0. This is a familiar situation. They were down 2-0 to the Clips and then won 4 straight. So what do you guys think is going to happen in this series?
I think if you're the Grizz, you're feeling really good. You took a team down to the wire who had a lot of momentum at home and has great home fans, pretty much equal to yours. FedEx Forum in Memphis is a very tough place
to play. I've been
there, yeah. But I just think if you're the Grizzlies, you feel good. You're already down 2-0 and you rattled off 4 straight to beat the Clippers. This Thunder team is just very sporadic, and Durant's just getting them through games. I wish I had a direct hotline to Lionel Hollins so I could tell him, please, will you use Kevin McHale's advice and double-team Durant towards the end? Make him a passer and make someone else beat you, because I don't think anyone else can beat them. Mm-hmm. I don't think that team is good enough for it. Think about who's the second option. You can't really say there's not a second option. It's not like you double-team LeBron. Well, now Dwayne Wade has the ball.
Right.
It's just you double-team Kevin Durant, and, okay, Kevin Martin has the ball. He can't really hurt you. Serge Ibaka has the ball. He's not really going to hurt you that bad. He's not going to score 30 points. Yeah. Neither of them are going to score 30 points.
I mean, Kevin Martin is an amazing shooter, but he's not going to drive into the hole.
He's not going to make other people better.
Yeah.
Other people make him better. Mm-hmm. And that's just the difference in that series. Whereas the Grizzlies, I mean, to be able to take them down to the wire in game one at Oklahoma City, I just see them winning the next game, and I don't see them getting beat at home. I see them being able to steal one, and I don't see them getting beat at home because their home court advantage is just too great.
Right. Billups, what do you think?
Yes, I'm sticking with the Thunder. I've stuck with them the whole time, even after the injury. I think the Thunder win this series still. I think they continue to win this series. I think they'll play the Spurs in the next round, and that is where I think they'll lose. That's where you see the big loss to Westbrook is when they play the Spurs.
Right.
I do think it'll be a good series, so I think maybe Thunder in 6 or 7.
Okay. I'm going to have to say I'm going to go against you guys again. I think the Grizzlies.
Well, I'm for the Grizzlies, too.
Oh, you're for the Grizzlies?
Yeah,
okay.
I think the Grizzlies are going to win it in 6 or 7.
I think the Grizzlies take it to 7 and win it in that 7th game in OKC. I think they can do it. I think that's when they steal the game, is in Oklahoma City on the 7th game. But like you said, they took this team right to the wire. Now, I'd be a little concerned that I'd be more impressed if they took a team with Westbrook to the wire. I think then they'd be like, yeah, all right, we're doing this.
Yeah.
Right now, they're like, okay, you know, we could have defended Durant a little bit better. Let's work on some stuff.
I think they underestimated the Thunder without Westbrook a little bit. And And the Thunder just made good shots. Mm-hmm. Like, Derek Fisher just made some great shots. Kevin Martin shot the ball well. Durant made some incredible shots.
Durant is just so good.
So I just think if you can take the ball out of Durant's hands, then you have a huge advantage. Because I don't think other people can make the shots to beat you.
Right.
I think that was just a one-time thing. And they still took it down to the wire. And Memphis still had a chance to win at the end and just blew it by letting the ball go out of bounds. Yeah. So
I don't care that Carmelo won the scoring title.
Durant was just
best scorer in the league.
Durant was like a point, like a percentage away from beating him too.
Right.
And he shot way more efficiently, like 20-30% more efficiently.
If Durant was to not play with Westbrook and Westbrook didn't take so many extra shots, then Durant would easily be the scoring champion every year.
Right. Okay, well, we made our predictions. You say Grizzlies in how many games?
I'm going to go seven.
Seven? Like I think seven. And you said Thunder in six?
Yeah, I'm going to stick with Thunder in six.
Okay.
That's what I said before the series, so I'll stick with it.
Well, let's move on to the next series. As we talked about earlier, Bulls are up 1-0 on Heat. So who saw them winning this first game without Derrick Rose? Anybody? Raise your hands.
I don't want to say I saw it.
Okay.
I hope for it.
I did not see it.
Yeah, I hope for it.
Yeah. I didn't see it as an impossible thing that could happen. No. I did see them being able to do it just because the Bulls don't like the Heat so much.
And the Heat hasn't played in forever.
The Heat haven't played in a while. They had a pretty patty cake easy series with Milwaukee to start the playoffs. And the Bulls have been engaged in Celtics. They're really kind of in playoff mode. I don't think the Heat are in playoff mode yet, or at least playing at their top level. I don't know if they have the weapons to really be able to be as good as they were last year. I think LeBron is playing at such a high level, and he's carried this team so far that the other players aren't playing at that same high level. You saw Ray Allen miss a few shots last night when he should be making feels like everything.
And Dwayne Wade
with the easy shots. Dwayne Wade takes bad shots.
Yeah, he was really the only one on a roll through the first three quarters.
Because to be honest, through the regular season, they've been able to do things like that. Dwayne Wade can take bad shots. Ray Allen can miss shots, and they'll still win because they have LeBron James.
But LeBron James had, what, a 3-for-9 shooting performance in the first three quarters, something like that?
Exactly. So when LeBron has an off night, they're, oh no, what do we do? LeBron's not playing that well. Well, we don't know how to win without him. And LeBron's been able to win for them for so long, it's almost hurt them. While it's got them the number one seed and where they are today, and they won a championship last year because of it, it's hurt them as a team, I think, and the other players that surround him.
Right.
I think Miami will be fine. I think this was a really big wake-up call for them. I think their eyes are open now and they're ready to go. I think they win the next one easy. I think the only way the Bulls have a chance of winning this game is if you do see that comeback from D. Rose and that emotional lift that'll carry them the rest of the way.
Right.
So what do you think happens in game two?
I think the Heat come out and whoop the Bulls.
Just annihilate them.
Destroy them.
Absolutely.
I think LeBron James doesn't shoot poorly in the next game. Because as we saw a lot in the series, in just that first game, the Heat were getting ridiculously open shots, especially for the Bulls' defense, but they were missing. They were just shooting terribly, and the Bulls were having to work for every single shot they made. Right. Really contested, really hard jumpers, really outside the three-point line even, or really deep two shots even. I think if the Heat start shooting better, the series is over. But you never know. Maybe that's what Thibodeau was thinking, is he knew exactly where the Heat needed to shoot in order to miss a lot of shots. Because Thibodeau is an amazing coach.
Well, we talked a lot about the Bulls earlier, so let's move down to what I think has instantly become the most interesting playoff series in this year's playoffs.
Right.
And that is the Spurs and Warriors, as last night the Spurs were able to defeat the Warriors on how many last-second shots that took it to overtime and a 16-point comeback with 4 minutes left. It was just ridiculous. And Steph Curry had a crazy game with 44 points and 11 assists, which only Michael Jordan has ever done those kind of numbers in the playoffs.
And he only did it once.
And he only was able to do it once. Steph's only, his fourth year in the league, and he's already done it. Now, while it was a double overtime game, still, it's very impressive.
Right. And it's his first playoff series ever in his entire career.
Yeah.
So I'm really impressed with Steph Curry. We always knew that he was an insane shooter, but really seeing him being able to change his game and not just shoot three-pointers or deep twos, but drive into the lane, pass a lot, shoot those easy roll over the fingers, crazy Dr.
And
J.
And we've never really seen a player that can dribble like that and shoot like that, because we've seen a lot of great shooters in Reggie Miller and Ray Allen, but never someone who could also just break you down on the dribble, create his own shot.
Yeah.
Or if you are to get too far out on him, you can't just take away his shot, because he can go to the basket too, and he can also pass. So he can do so many things. He's so dynamic. His fault, the one thing that you can exploit on him is his height. And that he's not very tall. And if you put a taller defender on him, like we saw them go to Kawhi Leonard later in the game, he has a hard time getting his shot off. Now, while it has to be someone that has to stay in front of him too, he has a trouble with his step back and with coming off screens and shooting, because while he releases, he's only 6'3", and he just has a really tough time getting a shot off against taller defenders.
So we saw Golden State almost win that game last night. Probably should have won that game last
night.
Does that change any of y'all's predictions for the series?
Well, as we were talking about at Cooper Lake on Sunday, I said the Warriors will take them to six. I thought I saw this coming the whole time. I didn't see them winning the first game or making it as close as they did, but I thought for sure Golden State wins both at home, the first two, because their home crowd, like we've talked about, is insane. And they always come out with a lot of heart. No matter who is coaching, no matter who's playing on that team, the fans pour so much energy into that team that they can just do amazing things, like we saw against the Nuggets and as we're seeing against the Spurs. Now, there weren't a lot of Warriors fans in San Antonio, but this team just has a lot of heart.
Now, let's keep in mind the same thing kind of happened to the Heat. Both these teams swept their opening playoff series.
Yeah.
So they're a little bit rusty, like you said.
Came out flat.
And the Warriors are coming off. And Tim Duncan had the flu. And the Warriors are coming off an incredible performance. With beating the Nuggets and upsetting them and having all this hype surrounding them and Steph Curry's play.
Yeah.
So there was definitely a momentum. The momentum was in the Warriors' favor at the beginning of the game, I feel like.
Mm.
But as the game went on, and it always seems like the Spurs just never freak out, just are always calm. Even with down 16 with 4 minutes left, they're able to come back, and that's incredible.
Yeah. Yeah, I was pulling my hair out the whole time.
Yeah. I think it's not as close as everybody thinks it's going to be. I think a lot of the games will be very close.
Right.
I think Spurs take it in five.
Five, okay. What do you think?
I see the Spurs in five, too. I just think now they're like, okay, we're in the playoffs, and they have that wake-up call
that
really push them through.
Tim will get healthy. Mm-hmm. It's just, I think they're too much experience for such a young team.
Right. All right. Well, I think we've all agreed, except...
What do we decide on the Heat Bulls series?
Right.
What do y'all see that series going
I see Heat in six. I think Bulls can take it to six. What do you think?
I'm going to take Bulls in six.
All right.
I'm going to say Heat in seven.
Okay. So I think we're all pretty out there on our NBA predictions this year. It'll be fun to see what happens. We'll be watching more of the series together. We haven't really got a chance to do that. But we're looking forward to what's going to happen next. All right, stay tuned for the Friday episode. Like we said, we're going to bring in a new host and see what he can do. His name's Caleb Rudolph. He's a radio and television student here at A&M Commerce. We're going to see what he can do. Maybe do an interview. And you guys can send us any questions you want to ask him. Maybe try to knock him off balance. We'll see what we can do. But we'll also cover the Rangers. We haven't talked to them in about a week. And we'll cover even more of the NBA playoffs. This is KETR's Locker Room. I'm Cooper Welch.
Taylor Phelps.
And I'm Ryan Billups.
See you on Friday.